really interesting. So we've been working on Good For You for a few years. A lot of it's been really dedicated to farming and hemp farming, but for the last few months, we've actually been working on an NFT project and launching an expression, an art collectible, a really beautiful NFT. Meta Key is the type of NFT it's going to be, called The Seed. And it's a representation of Good For You, our work, our team, our art, and also kind of our conceptual framework of what we want to do in hemp.
Hey guys, it's Mandy with Global Hemp Association. I wanted to say thank you so much for joining. I'm excited about the opportunity to build a relationship and connect this supply chain. I mean, after all, that's why we started the association. Our association was built on the foundation of connecting supply chain, building relationships, and helping you grow your business. Anyone from farmers, manufacturers, and distributors, people that are passionate about the supply chain, and those creating products selling into biofuels, plastics, textiles, construction, and building materials.
And we're live. Okay, well, hello and welcome everybody. I don't even know why I say welcome everybody. It's like, hey guys, we're back. And today's a Saturday. I don't usually do this on a Saturday, so it's exciting. And we're here for a perfect reason, Fred. What do you have going on? I'm real curious. What's pretty special about today for you that we're here? I'm interested.
Today we are launching a project for Good For You. It's really interesting. So we've been working on Good For You for a few years. A lot of it's been really dedicated to farming and hemp farming, but for the last few months, we've actually been working on an NFT project and launching an expression, an art collectible, a really beautiful NFT. Meta Key is the type of NFT it's going to be, called The Seed. And it's a representation of Good For You, our work, our team, our art, and also kind of our conceptual framework of what we want to do in hemp, represented on the blockchain, in a way to connect with people, build community.
Okay, and that launches today?
It's today. It's 2022. Very cool. Yeah, so we like sacred geometry and beautiful numbers, and everything was ready today, so we were like, let's bring it out on a cool day.
I love it. Numbers have been such a good day. Yeah, numerology and stuff is stuff that I've really started to look after and follow. And so I think it's always interesting. It's cool. Okay, so I want to real quick, anybody that's listening, let us know where you're calling in from. Please help us out. And if there's anything in the content that you like, please subscribe, share, follow. We're trying to reach 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. Wow, I can't get that out today. So please go in and subscribe. Also, if you're watching from LinkedIn, hit the little bell so it'll remind you when we go live again. We've got more interviews coming up next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with some awesome experts within the industry and doing some pretty cool things like Fred. Not the same type of thing as Fred, but something else also very awesome. And so, Fred, tell me a little bit about Good For You. Or maybe we should start. Let's back up real quick. Tell me about yourself. How did you get into this industry? Where are you from?
Sure. So I was born in Los Angeles, but when I was very young, I moved to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is where I did most of my growing up and education. I was a baseball player from most of my early life until I was about 23, 24 years old. And when my baseball ball career was over, I went back to school, studied language, history, got really, really into music, and actually produced and performed music for many years, was in a band, and made my way to New York a couple of years after that. And that's where I actually got really into bartending and mixology. I was a New York bartender for many years. That kind of led me into brand ambassador work in this, like, the overall spirits industry, working kind of all over the U.S., working in Europe and even in Asia a bit, doing consulting and, you know, going to distilleries, working with bartenders, working with industry on building industry important events and kind of support things. So that was my background. And it's probably a good place to mention why I left that. That was a career I had planned to do maybe forever. It was my deepest passion. Like, I really loved it. I loved the people. I had a great job. But it was the stress and it was the drinking and the party lifestyle that I had kind of perpetuated throughout a lot of my adult life. It got to me essentially. Like, and when I kind of hit that burnout moment, I needed to step all the way back. I ended up moving to Asia. for about a year, a little over a year. Met some amazing friends, got really into yoga, got really into my health and balancing, and got into farming. Met a lot of organic and regenerative farmers there. Kind of shifted what I was doing with drinks to working on these really great, healthy, natural elixirs with a team out there. And then COVID kind of hit and I came back home. So when I came home, I was already working with my partner, Jess, and we were trying to figure out something we wanted to do together. And we decided to take a trip across country and check out the industry. You know, we wanted to check out dispensaries. We went to California, Nevada, Colorado. And when we decided to drive back to the East Coast, we actually stopped at a CBD store. And it just opened our eyes and our minds to kind of, wow, there's so much more here. There's so much more that we're looking for. At the time, my partner was dealing with a lot of chronic issues, chronic illness, chronic pain. And yeah, that kind of started our journey into what formed Good For You. That was a few years ago. What it's become, who we are now, we're a team of innovators, creatives, farmers, business people, entrepreneurs, people from all different other industries. One thing that we very much shared is, you know, care for the planet and creativity, I think. We came together and we had this kind of crazy broad vision of like what this plant could do. And I know that I'm in good company on this show. Like, this is something that, you know, when you're working on this stuff, you're like, are we the only people that see this information? Are we the only people that know what this can do? But it allowed us some time to refine our way, like how we wanted to show up. When people say that there's 25 to 35,000 different uses and outputs, I think there's more than enough room for all of us to make all of our expressions in this. But that's kind of that's my story. And then kind of leading into how we started Good For You, it came organically, it came naturally. As I was kind of progressing through careers and we were progressing through life, kind of looking for pain solutions and looking for different opportunities, hemp kept coming back up. It kept coming back up. And then we got some different opportunities to work with some land in Central Oregon and to form a team. And we kind of just took that ball and kept running with it.
Okay. So yeah. How did your like time in the liquor or, you know, hospitality space, how does it really relate to the hemp and cannabis industry?
That's the best question. I'm so glad you asked it because I'm hoping some of my friends from that industry are watching. The skills translate. I don't know how, that's the short answer, right? The skills deeply, deeply translate. A lot of the skills that you would gain in hospitality, restaurants, retail, manufacturing, I mean, you name a job, there is an equivalent within this industry. Short answer, right? But like, we have to solve so many problems, and it's going to take all of us, like not just my team, obviously, or your team, it's all of us, all of our teams, all the people I met at NoCo. It's an industry-wide normalization issue. Like, we all kind of need to come together on those pieces. So I'm sorry, I got a little off track.
That's okay.
What's your question again?
I was wondering how the skills translate.
Skills transfer, exactly. Mm-hmm. So when you think about event management, or you think about even like running a bar or a restaurant, a lot of those direct skills have a lot of the issues that you deal with as an entrepreneur or as a farmer are very similar. It's really solution oriented. It's solving problems, working with people, being available, being communicative. Those are things that directly translate. But also, there's been so many changes in those industries and so many new changes in our industry. I see kind of a bridge building where people that maybe have done the same thing for a really long time are looking for new expressions and new outlets. And I think hemp is in particular is a really way to be creative, you know, and take those skills of like things you've already done in the past and like apply them to this industry that really needs it. We need that innovation, you know, that creativity. And the farmers themselves especially need support. From people who have more access to the internet, for example, mm-hmm. or who are, you know, digging in this new stuff about different methods of regenerative agriculture, different methods of precision agriculture, different methods of processing, or how to make the most out of acreage, how to get the right seeds for the region.
Increase revenue and yield, right? Okay, so you said just a minute ago, right, we have so many problems we're trying to solve. And you also said a couple of things that I just want to go back to. Oh, I think I lost you. Can you hear me or see me? Uh-oh. Okay, well, I hope that we'll...
Oh, it's okay. Oh.
You're good? Okay. I think we froze from just a second, so I don't know what everybody else saw, but we're back.
We're back. Okay, so all I'm saying is that support of farmers in particular and bringing this innovation and this new technology in a way that's not encroaching to them is huge. And I think that's another big skill transfer a lot of people that have that experience can help with.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so when we were talking about problems, right, these problems that we have and these problems that we're trying to solve, and then you also made a comment about how, you know, hemp really is in or part of all of these other industries. And that's something I say all the time. It's almost that we're not just an industry on our own. We're not just CBD. We're not just medical or recreational, you know, cannabis. We're touching, we've got our fingers out in every single piece of what other people are doing. So I always ask people, like, what is it that drives your passion? You know, when they say, well, I want to get into the industry and I don't know where to start. What are you passionate about? You know? So I'm kind of curious from you, what are the problems that you're finding hemp is really making an impact on to change?
Sure. Gosh, where to start? I think, yeah, like you said it perfectly. There's different categories where hemp can help, and hemp is becoming, and the research papers are now really finally coming out showing that hemp's a solution. But to name a few, pain management, topical care, building materials, flooring, paper. I find myself always trying to rattle these off, nanobark batteries, like, you know, all of these different pieces. But really, that's kind of what, to answer the question a little bit more, is that's my passion. I love to research. I love to grab information and go with it and find outputs. And that's what this is. Like going into it with the mentality of knowing what it can do. It can do all these things. It can make plastics. It can make paper. It can make all of these things that need to be replaced. It seemed to be a one-to-one to me. So it was like, the issue is that, you know, we're losing our forests far too fast and paper is not helping, you know, the logging industry is not helping. What's a solution? Oh, hemp pulp paper is a solution. Oh, plastics are destroying our oceans because they're not biodegradable. What could we make plastic out of that could be biodegradable or compostable? Oh my gosh, hemp is a solution. It kept being almost anecdotal like that until the research kept raining on us where it was like, no, this is not anecdote. This is literal. And what drives me is seeing a solution to crisis, right? Like we've been through so much in these last couple of years, all of us. And I think one thing that kept a lot of people pretty low is not seeing an end, not seeing a solution, not seeing, okay, well, what's after this, right? Like what can we do to mitigate what we've been going through? And the answer for me personally kept coming back to this plant. There was no way it didn't come back to some solution of something that's we've created over the last couple hundred years as a society where this plant has been prohibited, where if we implement it on its full scale, you know, with its elegance, you know, it's an elegant thing. If we implement it that way, I see these solutions happening in real time. And just to kind of add on to that, the technology, Mandy, like the technology that we're also able to work with now, I think can scale it in a way where we can actually, as an industry, as a group, as people, go at this crisis with solutions.
Oh yeah. And that's what's my favorite part of this, right? Is the amount of innovation that's coming forward. It's exciting. And every time you talk to somebody, you know, someone in the room has something that they've leveled up on innovation and ideas. Okay. But you know, the conversation always comes back to money. You know, when we talk about scalability, we look at the money and how are we going to fund this and what are these opportunities, and more blockchain and Bitcoin and NFTs come to play, right? So I want to circle this back to what you guys are really doing because I think it's awesome. And so I'd love to dive in a little bit more. Where do you see your platform really falling into everything we just talked about, right? The sum of what hemp is and does. And so... Yeah, you want to kind of school me a little bit on what NFTs are, and yeah.
It would be my pleasure. This is something I've gotten like close to in the last few months or the last year. But I can start with the parallels. Hemp is a plant with many variances, and it can do so many things, and it also has had a lot of barriers to entry, a lot of barriers to normalization. So that was a big thing that I saw. but also it's had a lot of barriers to financing, literally, like being able to put plants in the ground, get, be able to pay your farmers, be able to pay everyone properly has been a huge, huge issue. So that was a bit of the parallel that we started to see that caught interest. Also, we come from an art background, all of us, everyone that works for my team in some way has some kind of craft or art background. So it was also a way to be creative and artistic and represent our movement, the plan itself, as what we're hoping to build at Goodforia. And I know we share this with other industries. We want to build a sustainable ecosystem. With the farm that we're building, we want it itself to be a sustainable ecosystem. So as we were looking at decentralized finance, crypto, what those options were, we were like, oh, there's parallels here. And this is actually a really cool way to create community, create potential ways to raise money for your endeavors. And then also like cross those bridges between technology and agriculture. That was a big thing for me personally. I am a big nerd for both regenerative agriculture and precision agriculture. And this NFT, the seed, that's the name of the NFT that is being released today, is a representation of that and of what we kind of plan to do as Goodforia. That was a big reason why we got started. But if you want to get into the nitty gritty of, you know, what the NFT is and like what it's going to, you know, be able to potentially some utility. Yeah. So it's going to be an ERC 1155 contract, which is a collection.
What does that mean?
I got you. I know all of these are really, really new terms. So we're also going to be posting a lot on our website and on our blogs. We're going to actually be kind of sharing as much of these terms, I mean, as many of these terms as we can, because we know this is new language for a lot of people, even for us when we were going through it. So the ERC 1155 is essentially a collection style. We're releasing it on the Ethereum blockchain, which is, we had some decisions of which blockchain to release. We had some interest in some others that were potentially more carbon neutral or negative. And why we chose Ethereum is the most direct and usable one right now. We saw that there were some issues with its potential energy usage. So we kind of looked into the numbers and made a commitment that we're planning to plant a tremendous amount of hemp this year. We're going to plan to offset any collection we make. So like that was a big connection, one-to-one. Hemp is an energy solution, is a carbon solution. So we wanted to kind of bring that into the conversation most directly. In that we think people will ask, and there's a reason we did that. Why we did it that way as a collection is a lot of the craze with NFTs right now is profile pictures, and they're super cool. There's a lot of really cool collectible art happening. But why I think a lot of people are skeptical is they're like, well, what's next? Like, what's the next thing like in NFTs? What's going to connect NFTs to something I'm interested in? And it's not just an asset. So we thought it was an opportunity to create a different style of NFT as well, and what we're calling a meta key, or meta key style of NFT. So why we adopted this collection is it's going to give us the ability to add future utility potentially to holders. So some of our partners are doing some incredible.
What does that mean? When you say future utility,
So future utility, it's a great question. The future utility that I'm talking about, I guess, in our sense, and I think for everyone, it's going to be different. And that's why people should be really careful when they're talking to people about these projects, to really get with the people who are making the project and ask the question you just did, is what do you mean by future utility? So what I mean by this in this sense is we're going to continue to make collections like this. This is our hope, is to be the first of hopefully many. But we are also designing our farm. We're making a metaverse expression over time. This is obviously something that's going to take some time, some energy, some money, some coding. But we see some really cool opportunities to work with partners. Our partner, Virtue Innovations, my good friend Mark Lee, who's the one that designed this MetaKey, and his partners and other groups like BioArk. There's some people that we've been talking about working to really bring some really cool design to our farm in Oregon. That's actually kind of what got us into making this key, is we wanted to see what the future utility would could be for farmers in the metaverse. Mark likes to call it the agriverse, what we're talking about doing. And that comes from a theory of, we don't want VR to start while the world burns down around us. And I think a lot of people have a fear that the world's going to burn down around them while they have these headsets on, like these blinders. So we came with a theory of, like, instead of being afraid of Web3, afraid of blockchain, afraid of the metaverse, whatever that is, right? What if we brought our space, our agronomy, our biomimicry, our really cool stuff that we're doing with precision ag and regenerative ag? We're already sharing it in 2D, like we're sharing right now. What if we bought that to 3D? What if we bought that experience to that? So while without making promises of something I'm still building, we wanted to set the key up so that for some of our really big dreams and future dreams, that some of the earliest holders could potentially have some future doors to open. So the really awesome. Cool part about, long answer, but the really cool part about the MetaKey concept is that even if the door not fully built yet, you can keep striving, keep dreaming. And if you, you know, work really hard with really good DevOps teams and you know, designers, you can create something that will have future expressions and kind of give more utility and more, cool gifts, giveaways, other things that we could potentially do in the future. It kind of gives that opportunity.
Cool. Okay. Well, I want to say hi to a couple of people before we go back to this. And then there's a great question, but Pat, thanks for chiming in. Lauren, if you're listening, hello. I've got a LinkedIn user that said that Lauren, you should join in. So if you are, hello. And then of course, hi to Kayla and her mom, if you guys are still listening. And I saw Joanne, you were listening also. But Hector has an awesome question. And this comes up for those of you that don't know Hector, he's a killer person. He's somebody everybody should know and reach out to. But how do you navigate the industry as a person of color? And what are some of the obstacles that you're facing? Then how do you overcome them?
It's a great question, Hector. I guess you have to persevere. I guess that's the first thing. And I think this is not just limited to people of color, but anyone who has been excluded in the past, any group that's been excluded in the past kind of knows that there's some other barriers to entry, right? How I navigate this particular industry that way is with an open heart, actually. Like, in this industry, I've found, and granted, I've only made some rounds, but like navigating it with an open heart and being authentically myself. That's why my hair is out today. You know what I'm saying? Like, what we all can struggle with is being ourselves sometimes. And what is so important in this industry is each of us expressing ourselves, each of us showing up as our authentic self. There's still.
Why do you think that's more in this industry? Why do you think that's more in this industry than, say, a different industry? Is your advice the same regardless of what
industry? Yeah. Well, I think my advice for the challenges will be the same, especially if you're in the West or if you're in America. Okay. Like I'm not going to deny the issues that we face. There's no way to deny it. There's no way to ignore it. What we're hoping to do though is speak towards the concept of diversity and inclusion and lead by example. So
I'm just going to wait a second.
Sorry, it looks like it cut out a second.
You're good. I got you. So I lost you at diversity and inclusion.
all I was really saying is it was navigating diversity and inclusion. What is important about that is knowing where each of us have like our entitlements and where each of us are set back. And so I could speak to my personal difficulties of going into rural areas as a Black man, of going into spaces where traditionally Black people have not only been kept out, we were forced in for 400 years, then kept out. There's so many different ways we can go into that speaking and peace. But the main thing that's helping me is to connect with people, is to really, like when I back to the heart-centered space and authenticity, is not allow the past to drive what our future can be. So if I want to see a future where I'm included, I have to get on camera. Like that's one part of like showing up right now. Why I needed to get over my stuff of like, hey, I need to get back on camera. I need to get back out there because people need to see representation. They need to see themselves on camera. They need to see themselves in these positions, running companies, owning farms, doing these things. So that was a big part for me.
Thank you. Thank you for showing up. And Hector, you too. Thanks for showing up, because both of you show up for us all the time within our organization. And so thank you. Thanks for showing up today. I think I lost him again. I don't know if it's our internet or what's happening, Fred.
Sorry, that last part cut out. I think it froze for me. Can you just say the last part again?
That's okay. I was saying thank you for showing up. I appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Yeah, thank you for inviting me. And thank you for providing this platform directly to you and your group, this platform was a lighthouse for a lot of us, is a lighthouse for many of us. Lighthouse for many of us. And especially through some of the darker days where we were going out and pitching our ideas and trying to get our stuff started.
I don't know what's happening. I think it's your internet. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my internet or what. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it is. It's okay. So we're just going to trudge through because we've got, I've got a couple of other questions and then we can always edit this. But what we should do too is come back and we'll do a group meeting. Let's get together and do a meeting around some of these specific topics.
I would love that.
I really am curious, and call me naive, but I'd like to dive into what are some of those obstacles that we as a community can be more aware of, you know, and so that, because that's important to me. I was raised in rural America, and so really, truly the opposite of what your experiences have been, or what, you know, what a lot of people of color have experienced. And I would really be interested in how to bridge this gap.
I have a short answer because I was actually just in Condon, in the town where my uncle Mark is. He's a third generation wheat farmer there. It's wheat country. And we've been exploring bringing our regenerative hemp farming there, and it's taken some time to wrap it around. But you know what really was nice? There's not a lot of people that live there, you know, and sometimes going into those situations, just going out of your way to be nice to someone, like, you know, and really making them feel comfortable in town, just, it takes the edge off. Like, you know what I mean? And like so many different people went out of their way to come up and just talk to me and like say, hey, how are you? Like, you know, welcome here, like welcome to this place. It made a huge difference. And it really made me love where I was even more and want to do even more for that community and want to bridge those gaps. And I know that's going to be different everywhere. And every single place has history and trauma and all sorts of things. But I think the very simple thing each of us can do, especially those of us who are from just like when I lived in New York City for a long time, right? If you had never been to New York City, you'd want me, if you were coming to visit, to like show you around and like, you know, really make you feel safe and comfortable. A lot of people who have grown up in more rural situations don't think it's like that the other way, but it is. Yeah, and like I think that's a big part, is making people feel welcome. And I think that's the big one. But I think also, as that person who's maybe new to a place or whatever, don't come in slick, you know, like don't come in trying to change those things for people. Come in to help. That's the really, really big
thing. That's really great.
Come in with helping hands. People are so much more welcoming. When you come in to listen rather than to speak at them or tell them what they should do, they'll share with you, you know. That's
okay. So I just saw a super awesome person just log into our screen, and I'm really, really excited. So I'm going to add her to our screen, but Kayla just logged in. And so, hello, good morning. You're a new girlfriend. How's it going? Perfect timing.
We need to get a trophy. We need to get some trophies made. You're on mute. I've been hanging out on YouTube this whole time, Fred. And so finally, I saw we were having some connection issues. So I just decided I'd jump on just in case we had anybody drop out. But also, I just have a quick comment I want to make. Thank you. Thank you for showing up, right? Not here, but showing up in the industry, showing up for yourself. Like you talked about the break that you took and going and really finding yourself, and you were showing up for yourself every day in that process. So by showing up for yourself, you're able to be authentically true to yourself and show up for everybody else in the industry. And that's something that I work on at like internally. And I, that shows, right? People tell me, they're like, you just got this love light about you. And it's like, it's because I'm constantly falling in love with myself so that I can come from a place of servitude, right? I can come from a place of serving people, because my ego's in a healthy place and not, you know, taking over. So just thank you for showing up for yourself so that you can show up for us as an industry and be here to talk to us. Ooh, those are my comments. I'm just going to hang out.
Thank you. No,
I mean, people.
Yeah. Just, I'm talking about like that heart centeredness, this connection, this drives me. This is what I'm so passionate about. And it's almost, I don't know if I found it or if it found me at the right time. Like, and I know you guys probably feel that too. Like, when I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next, that's when this dropped into my life and was like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is, and it was, you know, I had a vision. Like, you know, I saw the fields, I saw what it could look like. very visual person. And when I saw it, I was like, I want to work towards that. And to your point, Kayla, I had to become the person that could do that. You know, I had to really do, I'm still every day doing that work because there's a lot to do here. And this is a long-term goal. And so for me too, it was like, there was so many times in my life where I was only focused at the task at hand. I was very, very good at being present. This was a longer parabola, right? Like this was a longer goal where we actually, when we set off on this, we were like, this is a 10-year plan minimum. So we're talking about growing plants here. We're talking about rejuvenating soil. We're talking about building up a community and bringing these things here. Rushing it was the one thing that didn't make sense. And I'm almost sure, having heard what you just said, that I wouldn't have been able to get to that method of thinking without doing a tremendous amount of self-work, going to a space of self-care, creating boundaries. That's a big one. Really, really big. If you have a caring heart to create boundaries, I'm grateful. I have nothing but gratitude, even for some of the hardest things I've been through now, because it led me to this space now. And I know some people, if you're out there listening and you're still going through that really dark part or that really hard time, we're out here. Like these people are out here. We've all been through what you've been through. Some of us are still going through what you're going through, and we still have to pull up those boots every day.
And if we're not going through it now, it's an ebb and flow, right? It's especially in the industry, we're building an industry. And I think what you guys are saying speaks too much, so much, I guess, to what Global Hemp Association is about, is being that community and that place to connect and, you know, expedite those connections or those needs, you know, finding people that have solutions or that have been through it or are going through it so that we can come up with a solution collectively. And so, yeah, it's pretty exciting. I love it.
And the trenches seem a lot less deep when you're arm in arm with a collective, right? Like when we're working together as an industry, the we move through the mud a lot easier together. And so, you know, for some of us, some people, whether you've been doing this for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, or, you know, for decades, we have the ability to sometimes get overwhelmed and maybe even jaded by opportunities. So I'm excited for our industry to be at a place where mostly we're moving forward now. And we're not holding on to those past, you know, doubts, even from outside, like the outside doubts that were coming into us. And we're moving forward together as a collective. And we're really starting to make a difference and an impact in our communities and in the world. And I'm excited to see where this goes. So with the future of the industry, what you've seen, Fred, and now bringing in NFTs and having this whole other side of things, where do you see the hemp industry in 5 years? I'm curious.
It goes Jetsons for me kind of fast. I'm not gonna lie. I have a theory that if hemp wasn't prohibited, we would have seen the Jetsons in 2020. We wouldn't have seen a climate crisis. I was afraid to make that claim really loudly a year ago, but I've seen the numbers. I can make that claim. It's we could be in the future we want to live in 5 years. I can say that definitively. I think as an industry, we could easily get to 1 million acres grown. And especially if we're growing it regeneratively, then we can accurately see those direct connections to what we say we're fighting climate change or fighting this mitigating climate change. That's what I think that actually means, is what's the action step? Like, what's the action step that we could take? I think that's why we all felt so hit and hurt over these years, maybe my whole life, of growing up in a world knowing that it's deteriorating, that it's not sustainable. Until I found this industry, I didn't have a solution. I didn't have anything I could personally work on that I thought was like, could make a difference, honestly. Like there was things I was passionate about, things I'm really good at, but this keeps giving. And that's the one thing that seems really familiar about the plant and the people, right? Is the people that work with this plant also are people who are extremely community oriented and giving. So that's kind of what drove me and continues to drive me at this. And to even connect it back to something Mandy and I were chopping it up about earlier, before we actually hopped on the call, is there's a parallel here of people wanting to tell you stuff about cannabis and tell you stuff about cryptocurrency. And what people have learned in our space is like, you got to go really research that. You got to talk to experts. You got to actually find that out. Talk to the scientists, talk to the farmers, touch the soil, you know? And that's what we went and did for crypto, just like we did it for hemp. We wanted to make sure that before we entered the industry saying, hey, this is us and this is what we do, that we knew who we were and what we did. And we got to that point last year where we were like, okay, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to do it. Okay, we need to create a campaign. You know, we need to let the world know who we are. And instead of doing, you know, there's other options, crowdfunding, and, you know, there's lots of other very painful investment run-throughs and things. We said, let's speak to our art, our artistry. Let's speak to, like, the truth of our team is that we're creative, we're fun. A lot of our network and connections does really cool stuff in technology. So we were like, let's bridge it. Like, let's actually create a hemp NFT. Like, let's create one that represents hemp, which is really, really good for the environment. And maybe, just maybe, that can help people understand and not be afraid of crypto as well. Because the opportunities for decentralized finance, the opportunities for decentralized regulation, using the blockchain and precision agriculture is one of my personal passions. Is finding ways to not only get data to farmers, but, like, protect farmers' data. I know that's a really big thing that's just now coming up, is data is very, very valuable in the world, but especially ours, like our data that we're doing and creating on our farms and our factories and the things that we do. So we saw a way to bring it out. Let's normalize both of these things. Let's both normalize cryptocurrency and hemp and cannabis, because they can help each other. In my humble opinion, I think that there could be some real synergy there.
Kayla, I'm going to let you chat. There's a question that I want to bring up, but I just want you all to know my cheeks hurt because, like, I'm beaming in conversation. This is, like, the reason why I'm so passionate about this is the people and the innovation, what impact we're able to make. And like you said, the number of people that we touch, from the very wealthy to the most extreme poverty struck areas, hemp will play a huge role in, and the people are who we're actually impacting. And so all of this just, like, drives me. Yeah. My cheeks, every time I grab my cheeks, really, cause I'm like, my cheeks are smiling already. So Kayla, this is a question. I don't know if you can answer this, but just curious, is bamboo a competitor of hemp, or could it be, could it complement it?
I would go with the latter. It's a compliment. Bamboo, I worked in Indonesia and Thailand. Some of my dear friends who we do design and talk a lot of material design with are traditional bamboo. They do some of the best bamboo work I've ever seen. They are just as interested in hemp as we are. They want to work with the best materials. All of the material scientists that I know tell me that this is just the beginning. So I am both pro hemp and pro bamboo. I don't think that they are mutually exclusive. I think, hey, let's say it here. Let's talk about some hemp mixed with bamboo composites and the possible, you know, material structures that could bring us. I think we're just in the beginning of it.
And I think that opens up the conversation to natural fibers versus synthetic fibers, right? Like, when we need to look at these two separate markets and see any natural fibers that can be, you know, grown in a sustainable way, that can complement hemp, we shouldn't be seeing them as an enemy. So for a long time, I've been hearing this narrative about cotton is this, and cotton takes so much water. But I know firsthand a lot of farmers out in California who've had to learn to grow cotton with exactly how much water they also use to grow their hemp crops. Out of necessity, right? These farmers don't have a lot of access to water. So they've learned and developed ways over the last three decades, four decades even, to use less water and to grow in more sustainable practices, use more sustainable practices in their growing, and growing in a regenerative way. So I think that, like I said, the conversation now becomes synthetic fiber versus natural fibers. You know, I did a presentation at the textile conference recently, and we talked about polyester from recycled water bottles and what all that energy actually takes, and how it's a very greenwashed industry. So you know there are some companies doing it right. There's some US companies that are really working to make sure they're not off-putting more carbon, so I don't want to put it down on them, but the majority of what we do is we export our plastic to China, and China turns it into clothing. So working through that, I just think that's what the conversation is now.
That's accurate. And we have an interest too, not to go too off topic, but like we're interested in all of it. And it's like the concept of live materials and live fabrics, like something that comes from something that was living, as opposed to that synthetic thing, I think it's going to be a big topic of conversation because of how energetically it affects us. Like there's an energetic resonance to materials. That's why when we pulled all of the things up out of the soil and shot them into the air, It made the planet too hot. You know, it did something. It actually did something. But it, with plants like hemp and trees, they pull that back out from the air and they put it through the plant and they put it back into the soil where it belongs. So like there's, it's bringing about that cycle. To your point, what you said about the sustainability piece and it actually working, like not just being greenwashed, like not just saying, oh, this wouldn't it be cool if you didn't have to feel bad every time you drink a bottle? Like, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be cool if you didn't have to think about that? But
our, you know, consumers, right. Well, they're drawing it, right? They're more and more aware that that mound of plastic is because of more than another country's errors, right? It's in our backyard now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think, Scott, if you're still listening, I want to comment that hemp, bamboo, and CNAF are going to save us from ourselves. I think that the last part of that is exactly right. And then also
you turned into a robot for a second. I think you're frozen. Let's see. Let me give you just a second to
what is up?
You guys were robots for a second. I'm getting you back. Mandy, at least you look excited right now. Your freeze screens are wonderful. But while I'm waiting for your connection to come back, I just want to bring up a point too of how the responsibility has been put on us as citizens, right? We have these huge corporations. We have testing of atom bombs that have testing of nuclear weapons that have blanketed our country. Radioactive material, and we're expected to take on the entire responsibility of solving this problem of what we've done to our Earth. And I think getting the right ears, the partners that we have now, and coming into this new generation where people like us understand what mistakes have been made so that we don't report them or repeat them. When we look at our current state, a lot of the people who are making the decisions have been making decisions for 60 years, and that's just asinine, or 40 years, you know, or it's in their family. We're moving into a new era and a new generation of prosperity by understanding what's really been going on.
Well said.
Very good. Okay, so can you share or give us, where do people find information about the seed? How do they connect?
So the best way, if you go to goodforya.com, which I saw maybe just got shared a little bit ago, and you go to the page Support Us, it has a lot of info and it has a direct connection to what's going on our Discord and the NFT minting, like what that is actually going to be. And then I would say why I mentioned the Discord. Discord is going to be an ongoing community. So we've created our Discord as our, we call it the Goodverse. So this is where we're going to start to build what will be Goodforya's community, not just on the outer internet, but kind of the inner internet. So we want to personally invite you guys. We still have space on our whitelist too. And there's going to be, I think if you join the whitelist now, there will be a chance to win a free NFT, which is really, really awesome. And we're going to actually be sharing information and things about the company in our Discord that we won't be sharing on our regular social media. So that'd be the place where if you want to know everything we're going to talk about NFTs and our NFT, future plans are good for you. We have a white paper actually that further kind of outlines what our plans are and what our roadmap is and what we think, how we want people to kind of consume this NFT. And it actually goes live at, if I'm not mistaken, around 11:22. My time, I'm on the West Coast and 2:22 on the East Coast. So we're just really excited. And I wanted any of my team members that are watching right now, we have been so much together. We did this. Like we are so excited to share this with this community, with the rest of the world. And there's 4 billion people on the internet and they need to know about hemp. They need to know about what our efforts are. And they need to know about how, to go back to answer your question, what it could look like in 5 years, you know, is using these pieces to actually get us the resources and materials we need, our company, all of our companies, all of our groups, so that as an industry, that that rising tide can raise all ships. This is kind of the crack of the bell. This is our first endeavor in the space. But to bring it back, I worked in art, music. I was a brand ambassador in the liquor industry. I want to stand up for this industry. I want to share what I learned about building communities, about supporting industry, about that with this industry, you know, because one thing I learned from chefs and bartenders and my people, that's my people, always be my people. We stick together, you know, we look out for each other. We make sure that people get home safe. We make sure that people eat well. And what I'm seeing in hemp, let's get from the ground up on that concept. You know, let's make sure that the ground that people are standing on is healthy, that the food that's grown out of that ground is healthier for having grown hemp on it. being able to create industries around our processing, our manufacturing, and some of the future expressions of, you know, that you guys know about that we just want to keep sharing. But for today we want to really bask in the NFT and like really talk about why non-fungible tokens are so interesting and why so many people are, I think, rushing to it. Like there was a lot of people last year who was, oh my God, this is the new thing. I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think cryptocurrency is going anywhere. So I think the normalization of it, and even more, the education for people in our industry so they can have access to it. That's a big thing for us. So it's not just like, hey, buy ours and that's it. It's like, no, if you want education on how to make your own, on how to connect with artists, on how to do different expressions that might help your project, we're absolutely down to share. Come on into our Discord. Come rock with us. Come join the whitelist. And connect with us. We have a really cool team that if you hit us on Instagram, TikTok, Discord, I think we just started doing Twitter spaces. We're going to be extremely active and very, very loud. So people haven't heard me be loud yet, but like, this is why I wanted to start with you guys. I was like, I want the first interview to be with Global Hemp, and then we'll start ringing the bell even louder.
You're awesome.
Kayla. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to your website real quick. It is cool. It is awesome. I went ahead and joined your Discord. Right. So I'll be checking it out. I just wanted to say the timer is there. We've got 1 hour, 35 minutes, okay, and 35 seconds left. So that was pretty exciting to see. So just go check out the website, everybody. It's super simple to navigate. And you can just go right there. For us who don't understand the language, what does it mean to get whitelisted?
Okay, great question. It means that you may have access to a slightly lower minting price. So you might save a little bit on the minting of the NFT. Also, there's gonna be a giveaway, I think, to only whitelist members, where we are gonna give away at least one to someone who just happens to be a lucky person that signed up. So those are two really big advantages, but also it's like getting into the VIP line at the club, right? So it's like getting any kind of super secret giveaways or cool stuff, cool utility pieces, being able to be one of those first 500. There might even be some OG roles that we're giving out on our Discord, so you could be part of that community and even like get involved. So those are just a few off the top of my head, but in Discord, I think we'll be able to share a lot more about the value. Also on the webpage, you can read the white paper, which is a bit more long format for the people who have a lot more and want to kind of see the roadmap and where it's going. So please, yeah, download the white paper, join the whitelist, join our Discord, follow us on social, follow Global Hemp Association if you're not already.
Yes. We're so close to making some changes on our options for YouTube. And so please go subscribe on our YouTube channel and hit the little bell on LinkedIn so it reminds you when we go live again. And then also please watch some of our content. We're trying to get our watched hours up. Once we have so many hours, it opens up a whole new window of opportunities for us as well. And so, yeah, thank you very much for saying that and sharing that. Has it been challenging? I knew nothing about Bitcoin. I didn't really trust it. It's not tangible. I was very much, until recently, actually, until I was able to connect it to a tangible item, right? Or to understand how it plays a role in agriculture. Are you finding that it's difficult to communicate about this, you know, new way of funding and presenting, you know, artwork or I always identified it as almost a non-fungible.
It happens. Yeah, I think actually it's why I kind of drifted for a second. It was something you said. Until I connected to agriculture and to what kind of we're talking about here, I wasn't sure about it. If I'm honest, I wasn't sure how involved I wanted to get with it. I'm an art collector. I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy some. Like, you know, I like crypto personally. I was like, maybe I'll buy some. Yeah. Maybe I'll get into it. But like, I wasn't sure how I would apply it or if I would enter it on this level until I saw what was coming, what had happened and what was coming. I think this is going to further normalize. Personally, this is just my personal belief. And I think the opportunity to have your own expression in it could be really rare and cool. And that opportunity is that got the artist and like the creative in me going. And then also because it's big now, because people want to talk about it and need to know more about it, I saw a dual opportunity to both give people education on cryptocurrency and NFTs and on hemp. Because it's like, hey, I figure if you're interested in NFTs, you're interested in investing in fast growing industries. I believe that the hemp industry could be the fastest growing industry in the country, especially with some of these law changes and some of these grants and some of these amazing things carbon. That are coming.
Just yeah. with carbon and climate smart commodity.
Like, thank you.
We're going to see billionaires, tons of billionaires come out of this industry. Mark my word.
I believe it. But I think that's why we have to stick together and why we have to really support each other in this sticky time, like in this time where things are still a little hard or we're still having to, you know, bootstrap without boots, basically. But
education. Nobody wants to pay for education, right?
That's true these days. But yeah. I think that's why it's important to share and to share our stories and to do our best to share what we can with the resources we have now. And just to circle it back. That's why NFTs. That's why what we're hoping here is to have a massively successful campaign to show other people who are having trouble connecting community or raising funds or doing these things. Hey, there's a path for people who have been on the outside. That was really a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we kind of talked about where you think industry is going to go, right? And where your company's going. What or who fits in that perfect box of a connection? If somebody's out there and you're really looking for that next step to take your company forward, who fits inside that box? What kind of company, what kind of connection do you need?
So, such an interesting concept. There's so many, like there's so many different ways it can go. But I would say now we're to the part where meeting more people willing to spread the word and evangelize about our products and our industry and their efficacy, like their efficiency and their efficacy. Like, I think people know the anecdotal stuff about cannabis and that it helps and that it's medicine, that it's building materials, that it's all these things. But I think having more, not to use the word like celebrities or just more known people, but more like, you know, yeah, like presidents, governors, senators stand up for us. That's what I think we need right now. We need people who make these decisions to stop promising us things and keeping us in the cold while we are trying to build up these farms that could actually, really actually do something substantial. So that'd be the group that I'm most interested in, not necessarily talking to, but hearing from us, and not just from me, you know, or from my group, from all of us. Because yeah. as an industry, we deserve the support of banks. We deserve the support of administrations in our state. We deserve the support of the USDA, which lately it's been so much more supportive. I think that's super important to normalization is legalization. I know that could be a whole hour of topic because of how regulation is often done incorrectly, but normalization is so important for industries. That's something I learned in the spirits industry and in other industries is the normalization of your product and the non-demonization of your product. It makes a big difference.
It's this consumer. And for years now, Kayla and I have been talking about coming back to the consumer demand campaign, right? Mm-hmm. And educating that hemp is sustainability, hemp is carbon sequestration, hemp is grain, hemp is feed, hemp is clothing, hemp is jobs, hemp is all of these things, but what we've known it to be is a drug. It gets you high, it'll put you in jail, it's prison, right? What people are consuming. Yeah. And so it really is. It's like you said, pulling together those people with loud, big voices to be able to stand up and say that it's not what we've been taught it is, and that it is all of these other opportunities. And it just fuels why I'm passionate again, you know, and what I hear more and more from the industry is this need to be able to market and campaign products that are safe, right? And in turn, that goes back to our industry putting out true claims, you know, over and over again. We hear, you know, hemp doesn't need water or that it's completely fireproof or all of these things.
It's like, that's an exaggeration. Right? It's not. Yeah. Far from the truth, but it is an untruth. And it's so, thank you for saying that. It's so important to vet in information you read or put out, right? Like anyone, right? It's so important. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
One little treat. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to throw down a DJ set in our Discord just for our Goodverse family. So we're going to start popping off some things that are just for the Goodverse. In some coming weeks, and you'll be the first one to know, Mandy, if you want to share.
Very cool. Okay. We'll have to get something good going here soon. Well, and I would love to invite you back. You guys have a lot going on. We spent a lot of time about your NFTs, but I know you guys have a lot going under the hood. And so as things open up and you're ready to start talking, I'd love to continue to make connections there and share the information. This will be recorded for anybody that's listening. Like I said, make sure that you're subscribed on our YouTube channel or hit the little bell on our LinkedIn. But also, we have a membership through Global Hemp Association to help drive these connections and education. And we're doing events, and we did a raffle for a tiny home at NoCo. Fred and one of his partners were there. And so that was pretty awesome to meet. But we encourage you guys to join, support our efforts. We've got a number of different memberships based on who you are and what you're looking for. We host 8 to 12 different meetings a month. Some are live like this, and others where we actually get together and break off in small rooms to network and build relationships. And so I invite you guys to support our efforts. If there's anything that you've heard or anything you see and like, please support us so we can continue to do exactly what we're talking about, driving the connections and driving the really the education around what is hemp and why should we be listening. So Fred, are there anything anything else you want to add before we sign off? We only have a couple minutes left. And
yeah, I just want to thank my team. Seriously, I am so grateful for the people that I have worked with. I want to thank my partner Jessica. She is goddess. She's incredible. She is the brain trust and one of the main drivers in this. Shakira, Samantha, Ginger, John, like the people that have worked on this project, Mark Lee, Connor, like all of the people that worked on this NFT, I'm getting goosebumps saying it. These are people I love. These are people that were friends of mine before this that jumped off this cliff with me to see if our parachute would open. Thank you. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for you guys for bringing us on.
Absolutely.
Glad to be back on the screen. I'd love to come and rock with you anytime. It's clever. You know, I'm really, really glad to be part of this industry. And yeah, that's it. Please check out our website.
That being said, I want to start traveling. I want to start getting to locations. I want to see processing facilities.
We'd love to invite you out.
Yes. So I would love to make a round and start doing some on-farm in-person education and filming. And I think that that becomes a whole new piece. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing if we're able to show it. And, you know, hemp is being grown everywhere now, and it's more and more. Yes, it is definitely. And it's farm season. And so, I get all excited about this, and I'm not a farmer. So anyways, Kayla, if you're still listening, thank you very much. I know she had to step off. Her little baby is home, and it's Saturday where she should be spending time with her kiddos. And so thank you very, very much, Fred. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Shakira, thanks for joining. Hector, Heath. If you need anything, holler at me. And we'll see you guys on Tuesday, 10 a.m., same time. Let me see who I've got on for an interview then. Oh, Hector. Woohoo! Speaking of, he was just on today.
Thanks for the question. I'll check yours out too.
Yeah, absolutely. Tuesday, 10 a.m., exact same time. We'll send out a text link to any of our members for Tuesday's meeting as well. Other than that, Fred, enjoy your weekend. Have a good time.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, have a good one.
Okay, talk later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, guys.